Thank you, Terry. Thank you, choir. I don't know. That was about the best y'all ever done, man. That was awesome. That was really good. If you like that, I remember I was making me think about the preacher over there in Alvin that died for an hour in a car wreck and went to heaven and came back to tell about it. And he was saying that he could hear like 5,000 different songs going on at the same time. A lot of the sounds were out of this world, but he said he could ascertain every single word in all of the different thousands of songs that were going on simultaneously. So if you really like that today, wait till you get to heaven, man. You're really going to like it then. It'd be good. You know, I've only got a few minutes here, and I was sitting over there by the wall, and I saw this little stool that Terry had here, and I thought, you know, the TV preachers, they get to sit on that thing when they talk. And I thought, I'm going to try that because, you know, they send millions of dollars into those guys for sitting on those stools. Thought I'd just give it a whirl. You know, Easter, some of it's about, you know, family too. And of course, we have four boys, three of them are in college, and they all came home. And when they come home, they rehash their childhood. And it's just interesting to sit there and listen to them. And this all this weekend while they were doing that, I was saying, you're kidding. Are you serious? That really happened? I said that about 20 times. And I've always believed in miracles. I just didn't realize we had one at our house because our youngest son, Gunner, I now know it is a miracle he is still alive after what the older brothers did to him. Wow. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's what the Bible says. Today's a great day. We know what this day is really about. That's why you're here and not walking the dog this morning. Because this day means something to you. It's special. Now, the meaning of this day is kind of what's important. Let me say it in a different way. In school, they asked us, they gave us an assignment. They didn't actually ask us, they told us to meditate on one verse and just spend a lot of time on one verse. Now, as a preacher, normally you're having to go through a lot of verses and in a rapid fire session, because every week you're moving on to the next sermon, the next message. So you've just got to regurgitate a lot of stuff, and you don't really have time to really camp out for a while. So the assignment was take one verse, camp out. So on one particular verse, I've been camping out for about 6 weeks. And that verse is Philippians 3:10. Now, I just want us to look at the first few words of that verse. We don't have time for the rest of that. We don't even have time for the first few words, but here's what Paul said. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Let's stop right there. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the saints in Philippi, and he was in jail. So, and he was even talked about his possible demise or, you know, what could happen to him. His future on the earth wasn't certain to him. He didn't know what Caesar was going to do. He was a prisoner in Rome. So he's writing to the saints in Philippi. And, you know, he could have wrote in Philippians 3:10, he could have said, I sure hope somebody comes and bails me out of this deal. I hope somebody comes and rescues me. But he didn't say that. He really wasn't concerned about being in jail or being out of jail, because he knew that was all in God's hands. What he was concerned about was knowing Christ. Now, it's funny that he said that, because he already knew Christ, didn't he? He says, I want to know Christ. Well, he already knows him. I mean, he met him on the road to Damascus when he got saved, years earlier. So if he already knows Christ, what is he meaning by saying, I want to know Christ? Well, he must mean something other than his initial meeting. So, I'm thinking about this verse, and I'm looking up the original language, and I'm looking up the background and the culture, and I've got time to work through all this stuff, which, is a lot. And I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about this verse. It's really a cool deal. I would suggest you try that, just working on one verse and chewing on it for about a month. It's almost like it becomes part of you. But I think, I'll have to stand up now. I think maybe what Paul was saying here in his wanting to know Christ and the power of his resurrection is he was wanting the words of Scripture to become more than rhetoric to him. In other words, he didn't want to know Christ by proxy. He didn't want to know Christ by hearsay. Have you heard the saying, God has no grandchildren? No, he wanted an intimate, personal knowledge. Like, for example, what we do in our culture is we'll go and we'll shake hands. So I'll shake hands and I'll say, hello, Brother Aaron. What am I trying to communicate to Aaron when I do that? By touching him, by calling his name. I'm wanting to make an influence on his life. I'm wanting to influence his life with my life on a personal basis. In other words, I don't want to just be a face to Aaron. I want us to have a relationship. Now, sometimes I'll even do more than that, and I'll shake somebody's hand, and I'll do this too. What am I trying to do when I do that? I'm trying to let them know, hey, man, I like you. You're all right. So if you come by the line today and all I do is shake your hand and I just put the other hand over here, you'll know something's up. No. Send those checks in. That's part of the deal, making you laugh. Now, what is it that he wants to know about the Lord in this? How does he want to be influenced personally? How does he want this to become more than rhetoric? Through the power of the resurrection. That's the first little thought in this verse, which is far as we're going to go. The power. What is the resurrection about? The resurrection is about a resurrected life, the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that he has power over death. That's the issue. Power over death. Is the power of death a strong power? How strong is the power of death? Every single person that's lived on this planet, well, at least past, 117 years? Wasn't that the lady that died the other day? She was 117? Past 118. They've all died except for, have all of them died? Two of them didn't die, right? Elijah and Enoch, right? Everybody else, history, and where are they? I mean, their bodies. They're in the grave, and they've turned to dust. So the resurrection is about the fact that God has power over the greatest power on the earth that we know, that takes every single person to the grave. This power that God possesses is stronger than that power. That's what the resurrection's about, in part. Now, this power is like, it's really cool, this power of God, because it's referenced over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse, I think it's 51, where it says, O death, where is thou sting? You know what that verse is talking about? It's not talking about the fact that you're going to die if you're a Christian and you're going to go to heaven. Your soul's going to go to heaven. I'm not talking about that. Now, that's a great deal. That's another verse. What that verse is talking about is that there's going to come a day after you have died and gone to heaven when God is going to raise your dust up and give you a brand new, glorious, eternal body. Now, I'm telling you, that's power, brother. Amen. But that's not all there is to the power of God. This power that Paul wanted to know more. I'll tell you what he really wanted to know. He wanted to know the power of God that would change his life. You know what power I'm talking about? The part of your life. It's that part when nobody else is looking and you know the decision that you ought to make, and you make it because you know God's looking. You know because God's there. You know because you love the Lord and you know he first loved you, and you know you got to make the right decision. It's that kind of power that gives you, enables you to make the right decision even though no one else is looking. And even though everybody else is going down the wrong road. I tell you, it's so powerful, this power of God. It'll take a person like Peter. You remember what he did at the Garden of Gethsemane? As soon as the Romans showed up and the Jewish soldiers, he ran for his life. But then Jesus rose from the grave, and then Pentecost occurred. And then years after that, they came looking for Peter and they said, "We're going to crucify you for your faith." And he said, "Please don't do that." He said, "Oh, was he afraid again for his life?" He says, "No." He says, "I don't want to be, if you're going to crucify me, don't do it like they did my Lord. Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior died." That's the power of God. It takes the fear out of our lives where we're not afraid anymore. Are you afraid to die? There's even a more important question than that. Are you afraid to live for the Lord? The power of God enables us to live for God. Let me just close with this. So I'm 17 years old, going to church, you know, every Sunday, and believed in God, say my prayers at night. But I was lost, and I didn't know the Lord, and I was a sinner. One day, a college student shares his faith with me, and I get saved. And I go back home, and my football coach invites me to go to church, and it's a Baptist church. And then they wanted me to join the church. No, first they wanted me to give my money. Then they wanted me to join the church, and then they wanted me to get baptized. Thinking, wow. Finally, it took about 7 months for all that to happen. And I began to witness to my, particularly my older sister and my dad. And my sister, she didn't want anything to do with it. And my dad, the first time I witnessed to him, he said, "Don't talk to me about God." That's what he said to me in the living room. He was mad. But I kept praying for my dad. And God, through the power of this resurrected life that was now inside of me, changed my life. And my dad saw that. He saw that I wasn't the same guy. He saw that something different happened to me, something supernatural, and it affected him. 2 years after I became a Christian, my dad went to that Baptist church one Sunday, and I was sitting right next to him. He was crying all the way through the sermon. The invitation came. My dad got up and walked down the aisle and got saved. He was about 45 years of age. That's what the power of God will do. That's the power of God that Paul wanted to know. You see, he wanted his relationship with God to be much more than rhetoric. He wanted it to be personal. Would you just bow your heads with me as we close? And I don't know, you know, I don't know everybody here today, and I can't look inside somebody's heart. Only you, God can, and you know about yourself. I just wonder if there's anyone here today who say, "Brother Mike, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross and rose again from the grave, and I've been to church, I've said my prayers many times, but Brother Mike, I don't know that I know that I know that if I were to die today, not tomorrow, but today, that I would go straight to heaven. I don't know that. Oh, I hope I'd go. Oh, I want to go, but I don't know." Listen, you can know. The Apostle John said that if we believe on the Lord, he'll save us. And for John, to believe is to receive. He said this, to become a child of God, John chapter 1, verse 12, there's only one thing for us to do, receive the Lord into our lives, just like I did, just like my dad did. Maybe there's somebody here today who wants to be certain that they have Christ in their life and they have eternal life. Pray this prayer with me to him. If you want to receive the Lord into your life, say this, yes, Lord Jesus, I receive you. Come into my life right now. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. I turn away from myself and I turn to you. You are the only one who can save me. Give me the gift of eternal life in your Son, Father, and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Now, with every head bowed, if you prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ came into your life. He made a promise, and he kept it. He'll keep it to you, and he'll live inside your life forever and ever and ever. You have become a child of God. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean you're forgiven, and you become one of his children. Now, what God's going to want you to do at some point is make what you've done in private public. You see, that's why we want to know that resurrection power. That resurrection power will diffuse the fear and the shame in our lives so that we will want to become public about our faith. And that occurs through baptism. But it takes some time sometimes for people to work through all that, just like it did for me. I'm a preacher and it took me 7 months. But just know that God wants to begin to talk to you about all those things. And it's important to read your Bible every day. Just give God 5 minutes. And we would love to have you here at First Baptist. Or maybe you want to go somewhere else, or the Lord leads you to somewhere else. It's important to be in a church. But God loves you. He cares about you. And Lord, we're just so thankful for any person today that asked you to come into their life. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.